week, just in case anybody wants to know. Yeah, I told him he might have to reteach 109 and 108, but we'll see. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys tonight. I've been kind of messing around with the song today and just kind of goofing around, and I don't know if I'm going to play it or not. I'm thinking about it. It's hard, but she won't sing with me. It's a song essentially wondering where our prayers go. Do you guys ever wonder where they go? Sometimes I think God's sitting back in heaven and he's got, you know, running the galaxy and all that stuff. He's got a million things to do. He's got a million problems. Got to keep this star burning. Got to make sure the Milky Way galaxy is tracking through the universe and the place it's supposed to be going and doing all this stuff. And sometimes I wonder, as I lift my prayers up to God, why don't things change? Why are things still the same? Why am I still struggling with the same problems that I struggled with yesterday? Why am I still praying the same prayers? God, forgive me for the same stupid stuff that I've done a million times. And I thought maybe when I started working at church that would, you know, get smaller. It just grew, actually. It grew exponentially. I've wondered that. I've sat back and gone, God, why aren't you hearing me? You know, and you always have one of those really good friends. It's like, oh, there's sin in the camp. Okay, what sin? I'm a sinner. There's a whole bunch of sins in this camp. God, you know, help me. And as we go through this psalm, we're going to take a look. David is the author of the psalm, but I think it has even heavier implications, even all the way to the fact that Jesus Christ himself felt maybe the same way. You know, if there's ever a guy who I know whose prayers got heard, it was Jesus's, right? Yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, let this cup pass from me. And what does God say? He says no. He heard him, but he said no. How many of you guys equate a no to a, God did must not have heard me? Yeah. God, I really want this to happen. And if you say no, then I'm going to assume you didn't hear me right. And I'm just going to keep asking. Well, that's essentially a little bit of what David's kind of going through. We talked a little bit in Psalm 108, how David was struggling, trying to figure out the Philistines. And, you know, his people are coming up against him. And he remembered that God had saved them through Egypt, and God has done a lot of mighty works. And so here he is, Psalm 109, same problem. You know, I don't know about you guys, but if you look at a lot of David's Psalms, a lot of David's Psalms are repeating the same problem, God, over and over again. God, I still haven't got this right. God, this still isn't working out. And I kind of appreciate that he wrote it down, because if David can't seem to get it right, not that I shouldn't, but at least I feel like I'm in good company, right? So here's David. He's he's lost in a whole bunch of chaos. I don't know exactly. I looked through quite a few commentaries, and nobody could really pin down the point in time when this particular psalm was written. But there is a whole bunch of stuff in David's life that could fit this, right? He's got a time where he's running from Saul in the caves. And doesn't know really what God's doing. He's anointed as king, yet God still seemingly lets this guy, Saul, be king. And he doesn't want to kill him. He doesn't want to stretch his hand out against the Lord's anointed, yet here he is, having to run from his life. Just so you know, the meal plans aren't great in caves. Fat people wouldn't make it in caves. I'd be like, hey, where's the Chinese food, man? There's no Chinese food in caves. Did you know that? I just found that out. It's, you know... Yeah, Orbeal. We're close to a cave sometimes. But here he is. He's stuck. I don't know exactly when this was in his life, but listen to his prayer. It says, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. For they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. And they have also surrounded me with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Certainly you could fit that in the relationship that David had with King Saul, right? What was David's job for Saul? Yeah, he used to play the harp. Saul used to get troubled mind, angry, frustrated, maybe. I don't know exactly. The Bible says that God sent an evil spirit to Saul. And when David played, it went away. David loved Saul. David was best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. So your best friend, your homie's dad is now, he thinks, you know, the guy who, essentially, Saul's the guy that David fought his wars for. Saul's the guy who ends up, he kills Goliath for, and you know, and there's a whole lot of stuff that David does, and yet Saul wants his life. Saul wants, and who knows the lies and the things that were spread, right? Anybody ever been victim of lies? I have a couple times. Anybody ever been the causer of lies? Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. I've been that guy too. I remember, you know, doing stuff to people when I was younger that, even sometimes today, that certainly, you know, you don't want to raise your hand to that column in church, right? But we've been that guy, and essentially he's seen this and he doesn't know why. Have you ever sat back and looked at the circumstances and wondered, God, why would somebody return my love? I've given them nothing but love, I've given them nothing but kindness, and they hate me. Hello, Jesus, you know, are you watching this? Are you home? What's going on? God, why is this happening? It's kind of funny. When I start thinking about all this stuff and I start thinking about how angry that makes you. When you're lied about, that makes you mad, right? There's like few things that I would go to blows over. And one of those is obviously my family. The second one is when I'm accused of something I did not do. And there's no way to defend yourself. And there's no way, and it's kind of funny because, you know, sometimes I've had it happen to me before, and I come home and I start pacing, and Danielle knows I'm mad because I start pacing, and then I'll argue with the person without anybody there. She's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I don't know, but when I find them, they're going to know what's up. As soon as I find them, they're going to be upset because I'm going through the motions. And it's funny, the only thing I seem to do is to escalate my anger and my frustration and my hatred, and I don't understand, God, why this is going on. And unfortunately for us, the Bible is clear about what's going on. You know, I used to think that God used to be asleep at the wheel, but now I'm positive that God is leading and guiding you through those things. God is leading you and guiding you through those things to make you the man or the woman that He needs you to be for such a time as this. You know, it's kind of funny. When you're caught up in, you know, why does the lie offend us so much? Why, when somebody lies about us, why is it something that is like, oh, I can't believe they would say that? Yeah. It's our pride. I don't want people to think bad about me. I want people to have a high opinion of who I am. I want them to see the best sides of me. And really, when we do that, let me tell you the truth, you're only seeing one side of who I am. Because in one part or another, I guarantee I fit that lie. Well, Jason's a jerk and he's mean to everybody. Well, I have been. Jason's lazy. Well, certainly there's evidence to that, right? I've been meaning to garden this piece of ground for like 5 years. And every spring I promise, yeah, we're going to do a garden this year. My point is that unfortunately, the lies have little to do with who I am really, and really what matters is God. Who does God say that I am? How does God see me? You know, the Bible is clear. Jesus tells us many times, if they were this way to me, how are they going to be to you? If they pulled my beard out and they mocked and spit on me and they hated me, guess what? If you're my disciple, guess what's going to happen? They're going to hate you too. I always hate those ones in the verse because it's always like, he told me it was coming. He told me it was coming and I didn't believe it. But the reality is, the person that I really need to be frustrated with, or at least I need to be the one talking to, is God. Because God's the one who brought me here. God's the one who brought whoever this person I'm having a problem with. And God has brought us two together. And if I'm a Christian, you know, I've heard this verse for a million men studies, Bible studies, you know, iron sharpening iron. Right? We're going to be men and sit around and sharpen some iron. But really, I think the best sharpening tools we have are the disagreements that we have with each other. All of a sudden, I get a real practical example of, wow, let's see if Jason is humble. Let's see if Jason does have a meek spirit. You know, Jackie always tells us, he says, it's really easy to tell if you're a servant of God, because when people treat you like a servant, you're not surprised. You're not offended. And to my discredit, it seems like I'm always offended. I want to be their servant. Jackie, well, if you're not their servant, then you can't be God's. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be servant to all. Well, Jackie, that's just dumb. They're mean and they don't listen and they seem to always have a problem. He said, well, that's who God sent you. That's the person that God is going to take you and sharpen you against until you love them like Christ loved the church, until you become that guy. And so really, when I get all done with my argument and all done with my frustration, and I'm crying out to God, God, why aren't you listening? The real person that I find I'm upset with is, God, why have you brought me here? And I don't want to do what you say. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to be this guy. God, I had different plans and different ambitions. Well, guess what? If you're my disciple, then I'm Lord. If you're my disciple, then I'm the one who's going to tell you where to go and where we're going to be, and I'm going to tell you who you're going to serve and the things that you're going to do. And I find myself, most of the time, being upset with God. And being upset with God really pays little dividends. God's not going to go, oh yeah, I was wrong. Sorry, Jay. Come on. we'll set this right. But that's usually who I'm afraid of. That's usually what I'm doing. And it's kind of funny. Even when I start to pray, I start off with a lie. God, give me patience. I really don't want patience. God, bless them. Help us. Help me to get along with this person. I don't want to get along with that person. God, give me kind words to say. I have none in my mouth. But I start off with a lie, and it's kind of funny that God is not afraid of what's inside my heart. Sometimes the things that are inside my heart are pretty down and dirty, and they get real upset. God, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I am hurt and angry, and I hate this person, and I want you to do bad things to him. That's probably the nicest version I'm allowed to say in church. You know, I want to take, it's kind of funny, I take joy in their calamity. God, you know what to do. Get them. But I don't start like that. I don't start by opening up my heart to the reality of what's inside. And I love David. David does. David is not afraid to show God what is inside of his heart and how he really feels. And if we're ever going to get past these things with being disappointed with our prayer life, being disappointed with the things that God's telling us, I think we have to start with being honest with who we are inside. Who we are, where we're really at. This is David's heart. He says, so this guy, if you notice on all the first five verses there, it's they. They have lying tongues. They surround me. They don't give, I give them love and they give me hatred, you know. They. And then he narrows it down to one in verse 6. It says, set a wicked man over him. He's got a problem with somebody. It says, set a wicked man over him and let the accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayers become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from the desolate places, and let their creditors seize all that he has. And let a stranger plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his prosperity be cut off, and in the generations following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his father be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he might cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like a garment which covers him, and a belt with which he girds himself continuously. Let this be the Lord's reward for my accuser and to those who speak evil against me. Yeah, shazam, you know. What does Matthew tell us? What does Jesus say? He says, pray for your enemies, right? But not like this, you know. I don't think Jesus was really asking us to pray. Yes, Lord, let them be totally annihilated. Let their children walk as vagabonds. Remember their sins for multiple generations. Kill them all, you know. What's really inside of our heart when people wrong us? Sometimes I think, I love David that he kind of opens the window and says, boom, this is how I feel, God. Kill him. Smite him. Do your work. Do the things that that I know you can do. And it's kind of interesting that this is the condition of the heart for people who are wrong. Now, do I believe he's justified in thinking this way? Were they not talking about him? Is he not lifting these things up in prayer? Is he not, doing the right things? And God's not hearing his prayers, and this is how he feels. I can honestly say, I've probably felt just as bad, if not worse, at times. God, take this away by whatever means necessary. You know, I don't want you to get the wrong opinion. When you're wronged, where are we supposed to take our stuff? We're supposed to take it to God. You know why? Because nobody could bear this if this was the reality of what we did to people. If somebody wronged me and I did exactly what his prayer was, who would be alive? Yeah, nobody would be around, right? Because I wronged George, and George wronged somebody else, and Lisa wronged just about everybody. And who would be able to stand against all these things? Wow. Did I wrong you? I'm sorry. My point is that there is a place for all these feelings, and there is a place for all these emotions, and all the God is. I don't think God, when he was listening to this prayer, went, oh, I'm shocked David feels this way. I can't believe it. I thought he was a man after God's own heart. Dang. What happened? God knows exactly his heart, and he hears him, and God can bear the weight of even the heaviest prayers. God can be the place that you pour out all of your anger and all of your frustration, and you can be angry and not sin. Why? Because God can take every one of those things. God can carry and be the burden bearer for us. You know, Jackie's told me a lot, talked to me a lot about being a burden bearer for my wife, and a burden bearer for people who come for counseling and that kind of thing. And he says, the job of the burden bearer isn't to carry the burdens. I'm like, I'm the burden bearer. I got this. He says, no, you don't. You suck at carrying burdens. You're not good at all. But what you can do is when they're hurt and they're frustrated and they don't know what to do, and for some reason they're so hurt and so frustrated and their heart is closed off to God, you can help carry their burdens with them to God. That's what you're supposed to do as a burden bearer. You're not supposed to take these, I don't mean to sound bad, but you're not going to sit down in a counseling appointment with me and come out and go, man, that Jason guy is super smart. He just fixed all my problems and all my burdens feel light. And man, he's just got it together. You might hear that from Jackie. I don't know. Anybody counseled with Jackie? I've counseled with him several times and I usually don't feel that way when I come out. But Jackie has a way of, when I have issues and concerns and hurts, he has a way of helping me get my problems to where the real burden bearer is. He reminds me, Jason, why are you caught up in all this? Where should it be? Where should your prayers be pointed? Where should you get to for you to be right and good with God and to be doing the right things? Where do you have to get, Jason? You'd think I'd know. I'm like, I have no idea. Where? Tell me and we'll go. Is it down the street? Sometimes I feel better when I get a coffee. I mean, is that where I need to go, God? Where do I need to go, Jackie? No, Jason. You need to take your burdens and I'm going to help you carry them to God. Well, I'm mad and I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. God's able to carry the things that you have. I've always appreciated that about Jackie. He's never looked at, when I've counseled with him or talked about things, he's never looked at my feelings and gone, man, you're sick. That was just too much. I didn't know you were like that. Where's Daniel at? Let's get him in here. Jackie's never been afraid of my struggles or my sins or my hang-ups, and he's always been able to help me guide them to the person or to the God who can carry all my burdens. When I've been wronged and I'm frustrated, I can carry him to a God who understands what it is to be wronged. This psalm is actually quoted by Peter, and the person he's quoting it about is Judas Iscariot. And he says, we're going to see, it says, let his office be taken, let another take his office. He actually quotes that. I think it's in Acts 1:20, somewhere in there, 21 maybe. But he makes this statement about Judas Iscariot. Do you think Jesus didn't know what it was like to pour out nothing but love to somebody and to have them stab him in the back? Do we not have a God who can understand our plight, understand our anxieties? Or can he not understand the things that are inside of me? I think our God is better equipped than anybody else, because David, no matter how good he was, I'm sure wronged other people. But our Savior never did. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, never, when he talks about, just read these first couple verses and put them in light of Jesus Christ. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. For they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. For they have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fight against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. In fact, if you look, give myself is not in that actually. It's I give, but I am prayer. Thus, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. Is there ever a person who could understand what that feels like better than Jesus Christ? I don't think there is. I don't think there's ever a man who has ever walked on this earth who poured more love out and got more evil back than him. And so when I come to him and I bring all my complaints and I say, God, I can't fix this. I can't make this work. I don't know why it's going down like this. I don't understand and I'm mad. Is there anybody else on the planet, in the world, ever in creation that could understand that kind of anger and frustration better than God himself? than Jesus Christ, who for Judas poured out nothing but love and was betrayed by one of the men who should have been his best person, the person who had his back the best. He was betrayed. I'm grateful that I have a God who knows my fears, my anxieties, my pains, my struggles. Jesus Christ knows what it is to be lied about. And he knows what it is. I'm wondering if this prayer doesn't even fit to some of the stuff that happened to Judas. If you look at Acts or at the end of any of the Gospels, it talks that it would have better in Matthew and Mark. It says it would have been better that he never been born, Judas, than to be the one who gets poured love on, nothing but love, and turns evil back for love. I don't know. I find it interesting that I have a God who can relate and sympathize with my struggles. Let's keep going. Verse 21. He's going to turn his attention. David's going to turn his attention back to himself. But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your namesake. Because your mercy is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. For I have gone like a shadow when it lengthens. For I am shaken off like a locust, and my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them, for when they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to your mercy, that you might know that this is your, that they might know that this is your hand, and you, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. Let them arise, and let them be ashamed. But let your servant rejoice, and let your accusers be clothed with shame. And let them cover themselves with their own disgrace, and with as with a mantle. And I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those who condemn him. I love the fact that what do we always want for ourselves? God, save me. God, fix me. God, I've prayed over this so much. I like verse number 24. It says, my knees are weak through fasting and my flesh feeble from lack of fatness. I have no lack of fatness, so I've never gone quite as long as as David has. But this man is literally strung out from the stress and the not praying a prayer one time and going, okay, God didn't fix it, so I'm done. Not giving a feeble prayer, okay, God, you know, help the situation. I know they're jerks, but, you know, do what you can, you know. He lays down a tremendous amount of time in prayer. His knees are weak. His flesh is feeble from fasting, you know. When I think of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was crying out to God, God, let this cup pass from me. And it says he sweat drops of blood. I can only imagine what that feels like. I can only imagine as he's going over the last 3 years of his ministry, God, I've poured nothing but love. I've done all these things. And God, I ask you to save me. Because you're the only one that I'm really worried about. God, I ask you to have mercy on me because it doesn't really matter what everybody else says. God, you're the only one who's important. You're the, if I'm, you know, for lack of a better word, I play to an audience of one. God, I don't really care what everybody else is thinking and doing and all the craziness that goes on with that, Lord. But you have mercy on me. You stand at my right hand. You come and save me, your servant. And he says in verse 27, it says, that they may know that this is your hand. God, come and be with me. Come and stand by my side. Come and guide me and lead me through this so that the world can see, no matter what they're saying, no matter what's going on, they can say, God is with him. And if God is with him, come on, you know the song. Who can be against him? If God is with him, God, that's the kind of relationship that I want to have with God. That's the kind of understanding I want to be able to do. I want to have a problem. I want to pour it out to God in prayer, the only person who can handle it. And then I want to, the problem that I have, I set before God and say, God, whatever you decide to do with this, I'm still going to follow. I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be, and I pray, Father, that you work this out and all this situation becomes a good situation for your glory. So that people go, not, man, that Jason guy is a sweet guy and he's awful nice and he has great hair. Not going to happen. But that they look back and they say, God was with him. God did these things. We know it was God because Jason's an idiot. If you spend any time with him, you'll know it's God too. But that's really the thing that I want to do. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to lay my burdens at his feet. And verse 30, I think, is the place I want to get to. And I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitudes. I want to be able to look back and say, God brought me through this reason, for this season or this purpose. I don't know what problems you guys have. I know my problems. I don't know what problems you guys are struggling with, but God has brought you through that for a reason. It wasn't for no reason. It wasn't, whoops, I took my hand off the wheel and you accidentally got away. Or man, I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, I'll get back to what's going on here. God had a purpose and a plan. It's a little scary. I don't always like where God takes me. I don't always like the places that I end up. But I do know that if God's with me, that I'm there for a reason, and God's going to use me however he decides. Sometimes it's to grow somebody else. Most of the time I find it's to grow me. God says, I'm going to make you the man that I need for such a time as this, and this stuff right here has got to go. It's got to happen. And we're going to keep going through the same scenario, Jason, until you let that go. And it's not going to be different next time. You ever notice when you move places, you bring the same problems? I thought when I came to Idaho, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. That was dumb. I got a plan. Be a whole new man. And then I showed up. And it was the same problems. I kept thinking, after I have the right amount of money, I'll be happy. I kept thinking, after I have the right amount of kids, I'm hoping this one sets it off. I'll be happy. Once I have all these things, then I'll be there. I'll have all that stuff. But what I realize is the same problem's always there. I'm there. And I wanna be able to lay those things at God's feet. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. Ultimately, we don't battle against flesh and blood, people. We battle against powers and principalities. We better battle against Satan. And really, when we stand before God with Jesus Christ at our right hand, and he says those words, this one's mine, Dad. This one belongs to me. I'm not going to look back and say, that one person, oh, I didn't know they got into heaven. They said something about me a long time ago, right? We're going to let all those things pass away. I'm not going to stand in heaven as Jesus just basically freed me from all the accusations that the devil throws, which are true, mind you. And God says, Jesus says, this one's mine. I want to be able to have that kind of, I want to have those kind of short accounts with other people. And as I was looking at this psalm, it's something that's really hard to do. It's really hard to get right with people who've wronged you. It's really hard to try to get right when you've wronged somebody. But ultimately, you're never going to get it. You're never going to be able to get to that place where that person isn't still hurting you, or you're not still hurting that other person, until you are able to take it all to God and leave it at his feet. And my prayer tonight is that that we're able to do that. That we're able to make that happen. And I will say this. This psalm, particular psalm, came at a really good time. And I've spent a little bit of time praying about it. And I'm going to continue praying about some of the things I'm kind of going through. But the one thing I know is I don't have to tell Jackie my problems. I don't have to tell my friends or my neighbors. But if I share it with God, God's going to be the one who can fix it. And so that's what I have for you tonight. And I hope that I hope you're not going through anything crazy. I hope that things are good right now, but if they are good, I pray that you put this Psalm 109 in your back pocket and pull it out when you have those bad days. And if you find yourself in those bad days, I pray that you take it home and you open it up and realize the God of the universe knows what this feels like, and take some solace in that. So let's go ahead and pray.